Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with OPM Director Linda Springer. Also joining us in our conversation is Tom Romeo, Director of IBM's Federal Civilian Services Practice. Director Springer, what are some of the specific plans for the HR line of business in fiscal year 2006, and how many agencies do you anticipate will migrate to the HR line of business shared services centers?
Well, during the past year, we've identified five shared service providers, and what we are doing now is developing the counterpart to that for private sector providers who would like to also be considered as agencies select who they'd like to migrate to. So what we are doing now is developing those basic due diligence requirements for being on what would be like a GSA type of schedule for the private sector providers. And then what we will be able to do is open this up to agencies to make their selection. We're very comfortable with the five providers from within government, but we feel that it's important to have an open opportunity that we can have others as well from the private sector. We expect that three agencies are actually in the process of migrating during fiscal 06. We've got HUD, Coast Guard, and Transportation, I believe, Coast Guard and TSA, that are looking at the various internal government shared service centers. But we expect that there will be a pretty strong competition and entries from the private sector as well. So that's where we are.
I'd like to get a little bit of a perspective on the future. What emerging technologies hold the most promise for improving the federal management of human resources? Or do you think that there are more non-technology changes that will make the largest improvements?
Well, I think that they're both. Certainly, we need to stay current on new technology. So whether it's XML, whether it's, further web-based internet-type opportunities, I'd like to answer your question a little bit this way. What we're looking at is really building up our telework, whether it's for a pandemic, should that type of situation emerge, or just from a general business continuity practice. And candidly, to be able to attract people to government positions, we think that telework and the technology that undergirds that and makes that possible is going to become more and more of a focal point for OPM. A hearing last week with the House Government Reform Committee on this, and there's a strong interest and I think support from the legislative side as well. To date, we have not taken advantage of that across all of our agencies to the extent we should. Certain agencies have done more with it than others, but we believe we're going to have to be able to attract an employee who wants to be able to get up in the middle of the night, work from their home for the federal government, and we need to make that possible. So that's going to involve technology. So I'm answering your question maybe in a pinpointed way, but personally, my focus is on making sure we have the technology along with the other requirements for a telework environment so we can take maximum advantage of it.
It will certainly help some of the congestion here in the Beltway and around Washington.
Well, when you look at gas prices, I think people would be very interested in telework right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Director Springer, you talked some about the retirement wave and some of the concerns in that pattern. What types of human resource concerns will face the federal government in 10 years or even in 25 years?
Well, the offshoot of the retirement wave is that it's not just a federal government problem. It's everyone is facing the same shrinking of the labor pool and trying to get the very best people we can. So the competition for talent is going to be an ongoing one that we'll have to face. I think that the additional challenges beyond the 10 years that will involve continuing to make the right balance between work and the other things that are important to people, being able to provide value to them as they come in, maintaining that sense of importance of what they do. And I'm glad that we score so highly there, but that's going to be a continued challenge for us. Benefits, keeping our benefits programs competitive but cost-effective, a delicate balancing act that all organizations have, and the federal government is no exception. I think that the talent one, though, is really going to be, people are going to have the opportunity to be more selective. It's supply and demand, and that balance is shifting, and I don't think it will revert back quickly.
How will OPM need to evolve to address those challenges?
Well, OPM, in partnership with the agencies, particularly with the Chief Human Capital Officers Group, needs to be thinking differently. We need to break out of the 20th century mindset of how we hire, how we present ourselves, how we reach the individuals who can really be of best service to us. We're starting to do that now with our Career Patterns Initiative, which really forces agencies to take the positions that they're trying to hire for and shape them and market them, package them in a way that we can reach people and not just the traditional vehicles. So we've got to be better marketers, and OPM's job is kind of be the chief marketer. We've got to use media. We've got to use tools that we've never used before to reach people. And then once we get them in, to really make sure that it becomes a valuable, rewarding experience. I hope we can also make some inroads with compensation, too.
Earlier, we talked about how government service could be for anyone, regardless of where they are in their careers. And certainly, you came to the public service after an exceptional career in the private sector. What advice could you give to a person who's interested in a career in public service?
The best advice I can give you is that you can do anything you want if you're working in the federal government. No matter what occupation you're in today or what you might like to shift to, you will find an opportunity to do it with this huge, wonderful, great employer, the United States government. And while you're doing that, you have the opportunity to help your fellow citizens and really have that sense of service. On top of all that, as I mentioned earlier, you have great benefits. You can work anywhere you want geographically. You can, as you make a change, you don't have to start over, build up your vacation again, get acclimated in a new way of doing things. You can just move to another agency. So we just have opportunities across the entire spectrum, and from that standpoint, it's the easiest thing to recruit to.
Excellent, excellent. Unfortunately, we've reached the end of our time, and so that'll have to be our last question. I do want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule, but more importantly, Tom and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the public and our country in the various roles you've held here at OPM.
Well, thank you, Al and Tom. It's been a pleasure to be with you. I would just say as a parting word, if I could, to remind people to keep an eye on usajobs.gov/impact. That's the place to go, and we'd love to have people come to join us.
Great. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Linda Springer, Director of the Office of Personnel Management. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.